think given the complexity of the challenges when we talk about gender-based violence or gender equality, is really like thinking about collaboration and multi-stakeholder collaboration within the supply chain.
Hi, I'm Katie Catling, Senior Communications Officer for IDH, speaking with Céline Gillard, the Head of Social Impact and Sustainability at Twinings. Today, we will discuss how women's empowerment and gender equality can work to not only improve lives, but also be an engine for economic growth and business. Céline, really great to talk to you today. Let's set the scene a little bit on this important topic. So how do gender issues, specifically gender-based violence, impact our supply chains right now?
Thanks, Katie, for this question. So first, it's important to say that women form a significant part of the workforce in international supply chain. In agriculture, we estimate that 43% of the workforce are women. In or anti-supply chain, we see more like a 50-50 split between men and women. But we see women being overrepresented in lower pay jobs and having to work harder and longer than men for kind of a same salary. Women tend also to be paid less than women. We know that the gender pay gap is something that exists across many or most countries in the world. On top of that, we also know that women bear kind of disproportionate responsibility for unpaid care and domestic work when it comes to like looking after the children, the elderly, the sick, and looking after like all the kind of cooking, cleaning, and so on that goes into the house. But they also take on the kind of invisible and unrecognized labor on family farms, for example. And that's really important to recognize when we look at the impact that women are giving in the whole supply chain. But on top of these kind of inequalities, we know that women are also discriminated in all parts of life just because of their gender, whether it's access to health, access to education, in decision-making, participation in public life, and in economic activities. And women are also experiencing gender-based violence. We know that one in three women would at some point in their life experience gender-based violence. And it's something that really companies have to deal with, because whether it happened in the workplace or outside of the workplace, this means that there are a number of victims in the workplace, and that's impacting things like productivity and so on. So it's a combination of factors that really mean that the gender inequality situation at the moment, it's really, you know, we've seen progress, but it's still a big challenge. But we also know that if we get that right, that will be a major kind of advancement to human development from an economic point of view as well. We know that if women are participating in economic activities, or if the cost of discriminatory kind of system and gender-based violence and so on is costing, I was reading a report the other day, it's costing annually the world $12 trillion a year. So it's really not a small gain for everyone.
That's very interesting. What current solutions are in place to solve these issues that you just described?
Well, I think the first thing is really essential for business to really look at their systems and policies to ensure that we recognize the gender-specific issues and any obstacle that women, or that will prevent women from fully achieving their potential in the supply chain and in their life, really. So that will go from like ensuring that training or maybe trade union activities are taking place during kind of working hours and daytime, because we know that women in the evening are busy, like looking after the children and doing lots of other things that mean that very often many of them won't be able to attend any kind of evening classes or trade union activities for that matter. Looking after like kind of their specific health needs, and that goes when obviously they are pregnant, but that goes through like a woman's kind of life, like whether it's menopause or period. It's just kind of taking into account this different kind of specificity and health needs that women have. I think the second one is really empowering women and giving them the confidence, but it's empowering them in a very holistic way. So it's not enough to say, oh, all the jobs are open for women, because actually you know, women may not have the confidence to apply, they may not have the time to apply, or there may be other barriers in the community. Maybe they need permission from their husband, or they need to look after the children that will prevent them from actually applying to these jobs. So it's a very holistic approach, looking at financial literacy, looking at health, looking at economic empowerment, and so on, to really make sure that women in the supply chain are empowered. The other one, I think it's training managers and training your managers. And I feel it's the one that maybe is one of the easiest to control because it's your own workforce, but training managers and supervisors to really identify, prevent, and reduce incidents of gender-based violence. And I would say the fourth one that exists and that shouldn't be forgotten is involving men and boys in the wider community. Because when I'm talking about the obstacles that preventing women advancement and gender equality, it's not just on the woman's responsibility or the workplace responsibility, but it's all these kind of other cultural norms and society norms that will prevent or don't necessarily enable women from achieving their full potential. So it's having this really multifaceted approach, but it's also recognizing that you don't have to do it alone. And there are a number of organizations and platforms and stakeholders that are here to help you. And one of them is IDH Women Safety Accelerator Fund. There are many others, and it's just kind of reaching out to these stakeholders that may help you to deliver everything or one of the points I've just mentioned.
Yeah, so how can women's empowerment and safety improve and create value for businesses?
Women's rights are human rights, and as businesses, we have to respect human rights in our supply chain and in our own operation. So from my point of view, that's as simple as that. But thinking about it, there are three main things. The first one is around like the cost in the supply chain, because if you look at gender inequalities, like if women don't have access to, let's say, family planning or adequate health services, or a victim of gender-based violence, this will all translate in loss of productivity in the workplace, as well as absenteeism and potentially high turnover as well. So on the other side, like if you do the right thing and invest in women empowerment, then you will ensure like stable and more efficient supply chain and, you know, higher productivity and so on. So that's the first gain. The second one is really thinking about like if women are prevented from accessing like quite a number of jobs, we are restricting the pool of talent that's available for business. And we know that diversity is really a key driver when we think about like product and processes innovation within businesses. So if you just close your door directly or indirectly, it doesn't matter, to a significant percentage of the population, then you're closing your door to new systems and new ways of thinking and so on. And last one, thinking about it, it's really around potentially reaching new consumers, because women, if they do not have access to financial services, whether it's saving, credits, insurance, and so on, that will prevent them from realizing their full potential, potentially like new business or women-led businesses and ultimately like new consumer markets. So it's really like making lots of business sense for businesses to really think about women empowerment, both in terms of their supply chain or workforce, in terms of diversity and innovation and talent within their own business, but also like potentially creating new consumer segment as well. So I think that's an easy one.
Yeah, so really women's empowerment and safety can improve businesses' productivity. It will also open up their talent pool and also can help reach new customer segment, as I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are some strategies businesses can use to improve their own ways of working?
So as I said, like, I think it's not just about improving ways of working, but as business, we need to respect human rights. And therefore, as part of that, business really need to consider gender equality as part of it, because women's rights are human rights. In practice, what does that mean? What business can do? I think the easiest one is really to have a policy on kind of sexual harassment and violence and a zero tolerance on harassment. I think it's just like the minimum basis that really clearly state your intention, like to your employees and kind of and managers and externally as well. There is a clear kind of line. This is, you know, what we will accept and that's what we will not accept. in addition to that, I think it goes hand in hand, but like training your manager to kind of identify it at the beginning, gender-based violence and discrimination and harassment, so they know what's accepted by behavior and what's not and how to deal with it when it occurs, because they are the one that will be responsible for dealing with workers and incidents in the workplace, or when workers are really like affected by such issues, whether in the workplace or at home. Creating safe workplace for women is also an important one. And on this one is thinking about like preventative measure, and depends what business you're in, but like thinking about the parking lot, for example, if women are finishing really late and the parking is in an unsafe location, or about like transportation of the women to your workers in general, but women with a specific attention to women. Thinking about flexible hours as well, just like really making it an enabling environment for women to be in your workplace. As I said, 1 in 3 women in their lifetime will be the victim of gender-based violence. So I think having something to support victims, whether the incident took place in the workplace or not, the implication will have an impact on your workplace. So having, first, I think because it's good practice, you need to care about your employees, but also because it has business implication, you need to have something in place to be able to care for victims. And then I think it's probably like going the extra mile, but it would be ideal, but like thinking about like other things that are helping to empower women, think about like financial literacy, better paying job opportunity for women, health awareness that really support women empowerment, and ultimately gender equality. So all these kind of other intervention that may not seem directly kind of linked to gender equality, but are actually kind of building that kind of women empowerment piece, or also things like workplace program that can be implemented alongside other interventions.
Okay, and then related to the Women's Safety Accelerator Fund, you spoke a bit about it before, and you also mentioned there are many different projects in place. With the Women's Accelerator Fund specifically, what potential do you see for the future of it? And maybe you can also just explain a little bit on how it's working to help tackle these issues.
So the Women's Safety Accelerator Fund, which was set up by IDH and bring together a number of players, being brands and retailers in the tea industry, is really working to tackle gender-based violence firsthand in the tea sector, and in specifically in India, North India, through a combination of intervention, being kind of training managers, as well as kind of promoting gender equitable behavior and attitude within the communities to really create a safe and empowering workplace for women, and to really ultimately reduce incidents of gender-based violence. It's been working over the last 2 years or so, maybe a bit longer, across tea gardens in Northeast India, in Assam, and more recently in Darjeeling, starting a little bit in the South as well. We see really like, I visited myself when I was back in May last year, and really hearing from the women actually themselves, who've been trained and part of the change agent, and that are being able to raise awareness within the communities to women and to other men about what's accepted behavior and what's not, and being able to share awareness on their rights, like where to seek legal help, for example, you know, how you should be treated by your relatives or in your workplace, and so on. It was really, it's having a significant impact. It's really, you know, you could see the women confidence and empowerment, but also like men recognizing that, you know, actually, yes, we know now that it may have been an issue, and this is, you know, coming on board with this. It's not just like a woman initiative, but it's really community initiative and workplace initiative. Like managers are really, and that's really essential, but managers are very supportive of it and really embracing it in their workplace. And that's really essential, because otherwise it's just going to stay on the side. So it really needs to be integrated both in the workplace and in the community. And I think that's what the Women's Safety Accelerator Fund has been doing so successfully so far. In terms of the future of it, I think given the impact it's been having, in my opinion, like good to look at other kind of rural supply chain, agricultural supply chain, in tea and beyond. Given the success of the Women Safety Accelerator and the impact we've seen so far, in my opinion, it would be really replicable to other supply chain and other countries outside of India as well to really integrate an approach to gender-based violence in workplaces and communities across the world.
How would you like to see supply chain systems deal with gender in the future?
So I think it would be really important to first, and I mentioned it before, but like recognizing women-specific needs and issues, including unpaid care work, health, violence, harassment, just being really honest about it. I think the key one that we would like to see from businesses is business hearing from women themselves. There is an assumption that we know what issues women are facing and how we will address them, but actually, are we really asking women? And if we are asking women, are we doing it in a way that's really conducive and trusting and everything and regular enough so that we will hear the truth? And I think that would be helpful for businesses as well, because as we said, like they will benefit ultimately from gender equality.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you see any examples of that in place? Like, are there many organizations or companies right now that are actually enabling a mechanism to hear from women themselves? Or is that something that we're still quite far away from?
Well, I think, and it's important when it shouldn't be just a mechanism to hear from the women. I think it should be a mechanism to hear from all workers in a way that women feel they can voice their concern or complaints or challenges and so on. Because I think there are good examples that exist in some organizations, NGOs, civil society, as well as some like brands and companies really putting or trailing or piloting some new mechanisms. So I think it's an exciting time because everyone is kind of trying new ways to hear from the workers themselves. And that could be through mobile phone technology or employee surveys and so on. It just really depends very much on the nature of your supply chain. But I think it's essential if we are to achieve gender equality.
But yeah, for a final point to end on, is there one thing that stands out to you that you really want to see within supply chain systems change and how they approach gender in the future?
I think given the complexity of the challenges when we talk about gender-based violence or women equality, gender equality is really like, you know, thinking about collaboration and multi-stakeholder collaboration within the supply chain or the whole value chain. It's really essential because yes, there are things you can do on your own and maybe when it comes to policies but overall, we all need to work together to really share learning, share what's working, what's not working, share methodology and approach and really learn from each other and to hopefully really drive impact and sustainable change at scale. Because otherwise it's just kind of like not a drop in the ocean, but it's just going to be like a very slow process.
Speaking with Celine today shows how far we still have to go within working on gender issues within our supply chains. Yet there are solutions out there. And although sometimes it may feel like a drop in the ocean, that can help make the ripple of change. Thank you for listening to the IDH podcast.